We will call Senate Labor and Commerce to order. Senator Ellis and myself are here. Senator Seekins is excused. Senator Ben Stevens is en route, and as well as Senator Betty Davis. We are reviewing for appointees for confirmation today, and would like to begin with Commissioner Bill Knoll, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. Are you with us, Commissioner? We're not getting sound yet, but I expect it'll come along shortly.
We need to unmute that.
Okay, we got
three,
you.
Three, two, one.
We got you, Bill.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, I see you have your cue card there, so you know where you are.
It's important at some points in time, yeah.
Yes. And welcome, and please go ahead with your testimony if you have opening comments.
Yeah, thank you very much, Senator. Thank you very much for hearing me today. I can express my pleasure and anticipation at the honor of serving as Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. I am not a stranger to that department. I've served as Deputy Commissioner for about 2 years since the beginning of the Murkowski administration. Had about a four-month assignment as Communication Director in the Office of the Governor, and then after Commissioner Botchford's resignation, the Governor asked me to step into this post. I am honored, and I look forward to serving the state. I've lived here about 38 years, and while most of it has been in the Anchorage area, I did live for about 9 years in Seward, where I built and operated the Seward Coal Terminal with the exports of Yusubali coal to Korea. I have considerable experience in the private sector, both in natural resources extraction industries, power generation, several commercial fishing investments, and and tourism. I have lengthy experience in the public sector having served as city council member and subsequently as mayor of Seward, and then for many years on the board of directors of the Alaska Sea Life Center. I'd be pleased to answer any questions you might have about the department's activities or our particular vision for this year. And may I ask, do you have some questions?
All right, thank you, Commissioner Senator Ellis. Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Knoll, thank you for being with us today. Consumer protection is a big issue for me, and it's been my belief over the years that the Attorney General's office, the section there, has been underfunded for consumer protection. And all the studies seem to indicate that Alaska seniors and the Alaska population generally is targeted by scam artists from across the country. We're the end of the road, so to speak. And there are a lot of, not just seniors that are vulnerable, but other consumers as well. What would you see as the interplay between your duties if you're confirmed as Commissioner of Commerce to work with the AG's office on what's a big, growing, it's not just identity theft, but consumer protection issues generally?
Thank you, Senator. Through the chair, you must be reading our diaries, Senator Ellis. We identified also that as a very important issue for our department. We are commerce, community, and economic development, and within the commerce portion of the department, there is a division of banking and securities. We are very lucky to have serving as division director there a former prosecutor, an attorney, named Mark Davis. Mark and I conferred on this very subject, and he was able to secure federal funding, and in cooperation with the Department of Health and Social Services, kicked off a senior fraud campaign about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, both in Anchorage and Seward. I made personal appearances in both cities, and we're very happy to have that on the way. It is both radio and direct mail to seniors. We spotted across the nation various campaigns. In Texas, they had a just hang up kind of campaign, and the thought there is, and maybe you've already started to experience it, people calling it home, preying upon older folks. And older folks, we recognize maybe were raised in a more polite generation, so to speak. And when they hesitate hanging up, it just gives the phone caller, especially the con man type caller, that extra edge. And sometimes gone goes the money. We were very fortunate early in this campaign. In fact, it was before the campaign kicked off on one of our spurs to action, if you will. A Fairbanks resident had considerable money, about $25,000 invested with one of these kind of would you like to make a quick buck kind of people. And we were able to retrieve it. He got very worried about the investment, contacted the Division of Banking and Securities. Our people went after the money, and we're very, very lucky in this case to have a full refund back to that Fairbanks resident. So that campaign is funded at about an $80,000, $100,000 level. We are being met by people at in the advertising sector on the radio with a matching kind of, you know, one for one, that kind of thing. We pay for one, we get one free. So we're very enthusiastic about that, and we'll continue it. We've got the offering anyway of going around to senior centers around the state. We actually kicked off the campaign in Anchorage at the Anchorage Senior Center. I know that's a place that you've got a great deal of devotion to, and we'll continue this. I think you've picked a very good subject, and we are on it. We'll be very pleased to take suggestions from you.
Mr. Chairman, that was a good answer, and I appreciate the efforts, and let's keep working together. Let's follow through on that, because it is a huge problem in our state.
Thank you. I know you've got contacts in that area, and please let us know of anything you think we can do better.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate you being with us today electronically, and we will move your name forward, and appreciate your willingness.
Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, I did have a couple of those.
Bill, did you
want to give us, I had written down asking you about just the general goals for your leadership in the department, and then if you could comment, we'll combine these things to speed things up. Just talk about, you know, the former functions or emphasis on community and regional affairs where the departments were collapsed together. And there's a continuing concern in the state and in some quarters about the loss of some of that community emphasis. So can you talk about your goals and then how you'll continue the community focus through your department?
Thank you, Senator. Yes, I will. And by the way, thank you. Thanks to the committee for taking my testimony electronically. I'm attending an Alaska Railroad Board meeting today here in Anchorage, and otherwise I'd be there in person, and I will be there in person for subsequent hearings. As far as goals are concerned, frankly, the economy, in terms of what the department does for a living, is doing very well. And those kind of reports, Senator Bundy, I know we've got obligations to you in terms of showing returns on how investments we're making, how efforts we're making in, the coal and timber and mining industries are actually paying for themselves. That's due to you by the end of this month, and we're on top of that. But in general, you can say that a rising tide, all boats go up. Our economy is screaming in fishing area, mining, in tourism, and we've even have an incipient return and certainly some eager plans in the timber industry. Chief of Staff Jim Clark, someone from my department named Jack Phelps and the U.S. Forest Service are collaborating on an MOU to try to make a more logical penetration or use of the Tongass forests. As far as the overall vision for 2006 is concerned, I can enumerate them. They're very brief, actually. In terms of the economy, we are going to continue the efforts that we've made, the advances we've made in the commercial fishing industry. Commercial fishing is very strongly up. Our numbers were in, for example, in 2004, exports were $1.7 billion. And for 2005, the preliminary analysis is it's going to be at or above $2 billion. And I'll reflect a little bit farther backward in this miserable history we had in terms of the competition of farm salmon from Chile and Norway. Our exports hit a low of approximately $700 million in the late 90s. So we were dealing with a devastated industry. It meant everything to many communities and many families in those communities, and deep, deep trouble. So we're extremely pleased with the results of the efforts we've made in the fishing industry. We're going to continue that effort. In a specialized area of fishing, and a second line item, is the Community Development Quota CDQ program, which is affects 65 communities out west from the Aleutians up to Norton Sound, and that also is doing well. I can report to you that in the since the inception of that program in 1992, they have received, these are big numbers, pretty impressive, over $700 million in revenues. They're holding over $400 million in assets, and of those assets, $217 million as of yesterday, is cash in the bank. That is a truly impressive track record for a program that was kicked off mainly under the leadership of Senator Ted Stevens, although the entire delegation worked on it. Congressman Young has a deep interest in it now and then. And so we are very proud of that. That whole program was to help an area of the country which is probably the farthest edge of civilization in North America, and it is working. So why we are looking at it, why would you deal or meddle with something that seems to be working so well? Well, we want to do a couple of things. Some will be of great interest, I think, to the legislature. For one thing, the cycles of giving fish, let me back up one paragraph here. That CDQ program translates into 10% of the Bering Sea. So 10% of the National Marine Fisheries fish allocation, say pollock, 10% of that goes to the local communities with which they work and make money. So that 10% has been allocated over the years since 1992 in 2 or 3 year cycles. In other words, they could anticipate a 3 year life after which that percentage may change amongst the various communities. We have we want to change that a bit to improve the business, the ability to handle a business, and change that allocation to a 10-year cycle. So a CDQ group could buy, say, invest in a ship or other capital asset and have a 10-year amortization schedule instead of a 3-year ammo schedule, and we think that makes good sense. Also very important, I think, to the legislature is that we want to release the spending authority of the CDQ groups. And by that I mean this. Up to this point, the CDQ groups have been allowed to invest in fishery-related matters. Broadly defined, it could be this or that, but it has to be in the fishing industry. So we want to move at least 20% of that spending authority into non-fishery-related matters, although in region. And there, as Commerce Commissioner and dealing with such entities as the Denali Commission or the HUD or USDA or just the General Fund, we know very well that there are many, many needs in Western Alaska that are very difficult to finance. So with the assets and with the money in the bank, if you will, that these CDQ groups are now controlling, we think it's time that they be allowed to make other kind of critical decisions within their communities. And so we're eagerly pushing for that reform as well. The last reform we're looking at and want to impact is, you might call it transparency. So we want to move from... We want to make sure that every shareholder in those CDQ groups is fully aware of how much money is in the bank and where that money is being allocated. It is more of a banking kind of approach, if you will, so we're looking at moving oversight into more of the purview of the Division of Banking and Securities. I'm dwelling a long time on fish, I know, and I'll cut it short at that point unless you have questions, but it's an extremely important part of our economy, especially out in the rural areas where there is a fair amount of stress and duress, and we're going to stay on that. We are looking also at a program which is almost costs, in terms of the numbers that you your body looks at, very, very little, and it's a minority outreach program. We have seen over 1,000 people on more than 30 occasions in Fairbanks, in Juneau, in Anchorage, in the Mat Valley, and in Kenai, and in fact, we were down in Juneau just 2 nights ago, with yet another meeting, talking to minority groups especially. The program has become so popular, we've taken the minority portion out of it, and we simply call it a business outreach program. We couple with the Department of Labor, the Small Business Administration, with the YWCA, and so we talk to people about how to start a business, what are the ABCs, did you know that you can get help doing a business plan for free basically, from the SBA. Did you know that you can get a speedy loan from the Department of Commerce or the Department of from SBA, and so on and so on? In addition to that, the Department of Labor has stepped up because the questions are there. The market is there terrifically. How do I get a job? How do I get a job? And the vastly improved job centers across Alaska are just the ticket for those kind of questions. So we are very pleased with the outcome of that effort. We're going to continue it. Dealing with the community questions, Senator Ellis, I recognize your sensitivity there, and I've heard talk around the halls or in Juneau about whether or not maybe we should look at pulling that portion of Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development back out and treating it as a separate entity. That will be something that obviously your body will consider seriously. I can assure you at this point, however, that the effort within the department has not lost any of its professionalism. We have at the helm of the Division of Community Advocacy a person who has 25 years in state service, has lived in the bush. He's Mike Black as director. He reports directly to myself, working with our two deputies, and we spend a real fair time on community type activities. There are almost 50 people in that division, and they are in regular contact with every municipality and community in Alaska. We like the results. There are special problems in the bush, as you well know, mostly dealing with municipal revenue sharing. The end of that program meant a lot to them, and of course the cost of energy. And I know that you're dealing with certain bills that have gone through last year's session and this year's session too, that can deal at least in some part with both of those issues. There is the Amarada Hess funded community dividend program totaling about $27 million that, if not floated yet, at least is under consideration. And then there's the Small Municipality Energy Assistance Program, I think is on the fast track in the supplemental, about $6.5 million. That is a photocopy of last year's program. It's money that goes directly to communities for energy assistance, small communities, by the way, so the larger communities don't get favored by that. Still, we recognize that there are huge problems in rural Alaska, and we are very eager to encourage economic development. So we're pleased with the Downland Creeks, with the Pogo Mines, with those pieces of economic development, with the CDQ program, where people can get jobs. My predecessor, Commissioner Blashford, used to say the best welfare program is a good job, and we still think that's true. We've seen 13,000 and more new jobs since the administration took office. They are practically all in the private sector, and many of them in the resource sector. Again, Senator Ellis and committee members, if you see things in that area, I'd be very pleased to work with you to make things right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Welcome.
I want to acknowledge the arrival of Senator Davis a while back, and I was struck by the amount of money you mentioned, the CDQs that are keeping in communities. I assume you have a breakdown of that money by community?
Yes, the 65 communities themselves have organized and have organized for about 12 years ago at the inception into six groups. Some groups have a very small number of communities, and some have upwards of 20. And yes, we have an absolutely accurate, we have a financial reporting system that we keep record of. We have a CDQ manager within the department. He is, in fact, was testifying, I think, this morning in front of the House, along with Mark Davis from Banking and Securities.
If you could get my office a copy of that, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir. We'll do that.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions for the Commissioner? Seeing none, again, we thank you for spending some time with us, and we thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you very much.
We'll move on to Tim Wortham now. Are you with us, Tim?
Yes, Senator. Hi.
Hi, Tim. If you'd like to give us a brief introduction and overview of how you view your position and be available for questions, we'd appreciate that.
Okay, thank you, Senator Bundy. Yes, I'm Tim Worthen, and I live here in Anchorage, and I'm up for confirmation for a position on the Real Estate Commission. I've been lived in Alaska since 1981. I've worked in the travel industry since the mid-80s, so I'm on the Real Estate Commission. They're appointing me to one of the consumer sides. I'm not a real estate agent or a real estate professional. So just looking to serve our community, this great state that's been good to me, on the Real Estate Commission.
All right, thank you. Questions for Mr. Worthen? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Tim. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. On some of the resumes forwarded to us by the Murkowski administration, the Office of Boards and Commissions, some people had redacted out personal information like their date of birth or their weight or something like that. Personal information. Under your personal history, there's an entire line redacted or crossed out. It says 1981, moved to Alaska. And I know you're a bona fide Alaska resident. But then there's a whole line missing. And I guess you crossed it out for the Murkowski administration crossed it out for some reason, and I'm not asking exactly what it says, but what's the nature of the thing that was crossed out from the committee's looking?
Not having that document in front of me, I'm not sure. You're talking about like my resume towards the bottom under personal?
No, it says Tim Worthen resume. Tim Worthen, Mr. Chairman, Tim Worthen resume. It says personal history, 1981, moved to Alaska to work for Alyeska. And then the third point is broad range of experience. The middle line is completely crossed out.
It's your second bullet point.
But maybe we could get that to him.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that issue was. I mean, I've invested in real estate. That'd be under my personal area, but that's kind of personal investments.
Okay, well, I'm sure we can fax this to you so you can tell us.
Yeah, Jane will fax you a copy of it, and then you can contact Senator Ellis directly if you would.
Sure, Mr. That would be fine.
Senator Ellis has another question.
And through the chair, Tim, you made a point, and I've made a point, that you're a bona fide Alaskan resident. Do you still spend a lot of time elsewhere for business reasons? I guess the question I'm getting to is, if you're out of state for a significant period of time, would you be able? You'd be willing and able to teleconference into the meetings of the Real Estate Commission?
Well, you're probably referring to an unfounded allegation a few years ago from my opponent in election. But no, I've always been an Alaska resident, and I will attend all the commission meetings. And I do travel a lot for business and on the road a lot. But I just plan my schedule accordingly, and we'll make the commission meetings.
Okay, that's appreciated. So you'd be attending in person or by teleconference and do your best to have a good attendance record?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, just one final comment. You made reference, Mr. Worthen, to a political campaign. It is here on your resume. 2002, ran for Senate in District J, lost this race to an incumbent who'd spent twice as much money as me by 47 votes. So you've raised the political campaign issue. I thought that was sort of an odd thing to put on the resume to the legislature for the job. It sort of brought up, I guess, what may still be some hard feelings from a past political campaign. I thought it was odd to be on here. I guess it's certainly your right to include it. So that's why the issue came up. You actually included it here.
Okay, no hard feelings. I just try to list all activities in that personal section of things I've been involved in, and I believe in giving back to our state, and that's one way I attempted to do so four years ago.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I see no further questions, Tim, so with our thanks for joining us today and your willingness to serve.
So, Mr. Chairman, if he will, you did say it was possible to fax to him.
Yeah, we're going to get you.
So, if he could get back to me about that one issue, that'd be great.
Fax a copy of this, and then you can contact Senator Ellis's office on it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Bundy.
All right, thank you. We're going to move on now to John. And John, you're going to have to help me with your last name. That's a nice Norwegian name, I know it is. But,
John Juki.
John Juki, okay. Thank you, John.
If my buddy Ralph was there, he'd be able to help you out with it.
Yeah, well, I recall the name now from last year's committee hearing, so I apologize, John, but appreciate you helping me out. And, John, you are nominated for a position on the Workers' Compensation Appeals Board or Appeals Commission. And, again, if you'd like to give us a brief introduction and your view of your role on the commission.
I've been in Alaska for 52 years. I've been a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers for the last 30 years. I've worked for the union for the past 22 years. And I've been on the Workers' Comp Board for the last 14 years. I recently accepted an appointment from Commissioner O'Clery to the Appeals Commission, and as far as the role with the Appeals Commission, I think the goal is to speed the process up where it's possible, and possibly for the Appeals Commission to come out with a little more consistent rulings than what the Superior Court has in the past.
Well, thank you, John. And just by way of explanation, Senator Seekins is having to travel. He left at noon today, and otherwise I know he would have looked forward to being here to hear your testimony. Questions for Mr. Juki? Well, see none, John. So, again, thank you very much for joining us today, taking time out of your day, and we thank you for your willingness to serve. Appreciate
Okay, you thank you, Senator.
Appreciate you bringing your expertise.
Thank you, Senator.
To the commission. You're welcome. That brings us to Kristen Knudsen, who has also been appointed to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission.
Good afternoon, Senator. I'm Kristen Knudsen. I've been appointed as the chair of the new Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. And you've seen my resume, but very briefly, I've been here since 1978 when I graduated from law school. I came right to Alaska. I worked with the labor law firm Jermaine Dunnigan and Owens. I've worked with the Alaska Workers' Compensation Board, and I've spent almost 16 years with the Attorney General's office before this appointment. The commission itself has only been in existence for about 11 weeks, and in that time, we have been able to get our website up and our decisions that have been issued so far on the web. We've had our emergency regs adopted. The public comment period on those emergency regs has now expired. And we've set our quarterly meetings. We have a quarterly meeting coming up at the end of this month. We have established contacts with different training organizations, and I've sought training opportunities for the commissioners through the Pennsylvania Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission in Illinois, as well as through organizations such as IABIC, the International Association of Industrial Accident Boards and Commissions, and the National Judicial College, and hopefully also through the National Association of Women Judges. I've worked with Terry Thurbin of the Office of Administrative Hearings to streamline our obligations there and to establish the pro tem appointments that are necessary. We've had one pro tem appointment already. worked with the Workers' Compensation Board staff to work out docket processes, got resources available for our commission members. They all have email addresses and voicemail, and so that we can communicate very easily back and forth. And we have moved into our permanent offices. They've been completed, and we've moved in. Even though we don't have furniture, we're borrowing furniture for the time being, but we're up and running and in business. At this point in time, we have 10 appeals and 4 motions for extraordinary review. And of those, 2 of the appeals have already been settled. Of the 4 motions for extraordinary review, 1 has settled, 1's been decided. 1, I understand that there is a draft circulating, and 1 is about to be heard. So we've been in business.
All right. Well, that was one of the questions that I have. You've been meeting, and obviously you have, and you've been very busy, it sounds like. Senator Ellis has another question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Knudsen, thank you for your willingness to serve. We appreciate it. I wasn't clear. Did you say you as chair, are you appointed by the governor as chair, or did the group elect you chair? The other
I was appointed as chair. The chair has to be an attorney admitted to practice in the state of Alaska with at least 5 years experience in the area of workers' compensation, and so I was appointed as chair.
Okay.
I'm the only attorney.
And if I could continue, Mr. Chairman. So, Ms. Knudsen, what would you say are your goals for the Appeals Commission, and how would you describe what will be your guiding philosophy in the work of the Commission?
Well, workers' compensation is unique in the law in that, number one, it's only about 100 years old. It's a purely statutory phenomenon, and because it is purely statutory, it is derived entirely, really, from the legislation that creates it, from its enabling legislation. Our general feeling, the commission members and I have talked about this, is that we wish to be very careful as we look at the statutes that we are essentially applying, but we are also being very careful that we do not step into the realm of the court system. We understand very clearly that the determination of the validity, the constitutional validity of a statute or the validity of a statute, is something for the court system to determine, and it's not ours. So one of my goals, if you will, of the commission in its first months of existence is to help delineate, to help us understand exactly where our authority lies, and to do that very carefully and with a great deal of deliberation and consideration.
And I see no other questions, Kirsten. Thank you again on behalf of the committee for your willingness to serve and sharing your expertise with us. And thank you for being with us this afternoon and taking time to talk with the committee.
It's my honor. Thank you.
I would bring us to Jim Robinson, who has also been nominated to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. Welcome, Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jim Robinson. I've been in Alaska for 60 years. I've been a member of Labor's Local 341 for 57 years. I've represented the employees in a number of different areas. Business manager of the local union. I was on Section 1 and the terminal for the pipeline, and also on the coating when we coated the pipe for the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. I was down in Valdez for that. I was the president of the FFL-CIO for all of the unions in Alaska. I was commissioner of labor under Sheffield. I've been investigator for workers' compensation. That was for uninsured employers. Also have been on the Workers' Compensation Board for Governor Hammond the first time, and then Tony Knowles the second time. I was on the first OSHA Review Board that Governor Egan appointed me to, and I might say that that was quite an experience. At the present time, I'm honored to serve on this board, and I think, looking at it, I think we have a very narrow thing to look at, because we're on the final decisions and orders from the board, and so I think that that would guide what some of our determination would be with. I'm also a volunteer at the district attorney's office. I've been there 6 or 7 years, and I just appreciate the appointment, and I'm willing to serve.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Robinson? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, good to see you. What do you have any thoughts about death benefits, granting of death benefits for the workers'
comp? Sorry, I didn't get that.
Any thoughts to share with the committee about your attitude toward death benefits? And I guess I just asked the general question, too, of what your philosophy would be in your work on the commission.
Well, Mr. Chairman, when we were sworn into this office, we said that we wouldn't take a position on a whole lot of things other than the President of the United States, and so I do have positions on what I think the death benefits should be, and when I was on the ad hoc committee, I asked them to look at what $1 million would cost in compensation rate, and they actually looked at that to see if it was something that we would want to go about. But I think at the present time, the rate that we have now is what we think that we can deal with. I think the legislature has taken a look at the workers' compensation system yearly, and they've taken the advice of a lot of the folks that have been involved in it, and they change the regulations as they see fit. And I think that's something that you're going to have to continue with. And I know that you got a committee now that's taking a look at that. And I would just say to you that I think that committee is good, but I think that you ought to ask the Workers' Compensation Ad Hoc Committee to get back together and work on things like putting the people back to work, safe workplaces, taking a look at some guidelines for physicians, and some of the things that I think is where the cost effectiveness is going to be in those areas, and especially the putting the folks back to work.
Thank you.
I don't know if I answered the question, brother, but that's my philosophy.
Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for bringing your expertise and your long-time experience to the table to help the state, and we appreciate your willingness to serve and your willingness to be with us this afternoon to chat with the committee. So thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That would take us to Mark Stampin. Mark is on teleconference by phone from Bethel.
Yes.
Yes, Mark, are you with us?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Mark Stemp calling in from Bethel today.
Good afternoon. If you'd give us a brief introduction to yourself and your views on your role on the Workers' Comp and Appeal Commission.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you to the commission for allowing me to call in from Bethel today. If I could, I would be there in person. But I've been in the state since 1974, approximately 32 years. I've principally worked in rural Alaska for about 30 years. Presently, the president and CEO of Bethel Native Corporation, and my views on the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission is that I was pleased to be considered as an appointee. I've been on the Workers' Compensation Board since 1971, at that time appointed by Governor Hickel, and I had asked the governor back then that I was interested in trying to help serve on a committee to the state to help give back, and that I wanted to be involved in something that that would be of benefit to the state, and that's how I became appointed to the Workers' Compensation Board in the first place. And also being involved in business through these many years, I'm certainly aware of the cost of insurance, but also the need and the obligation and duty to provide a safe workplace for our workers, and particularly want to keep providing a reasonable and fair system to our workers, and also to, with the Appeals Commission, to have perhaps a speedier process for reviews and appeals, and to also, as I think was previously mentioned, to bring consistency to our decisions. So to me, it's a real honor. It's groundbreaking. It's certainly a challenge, and happy to help out.
All right, thank you so much. Questions? I notice Brian Porter is one of your references, and if he weren't running away from Alaska to play golf, I'm sure he would. We could ask him questions.
Yes, I wish I wish we could.
All right. Well, we thank you very much for taking some time from your busy day to be with us today, and for your willingness to serve and contribute to Alaska. So we appreciate that.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
You're welcome. That takes us to Philip Ulmer. And Philip has been nominated for the Workers' Compensation Board. And if Mr. Ulmer, you could give us a brief introduction and your views of your role on the Workers' Compensation Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am certainly privileged to have been appointed to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. I am a safety professional, been in the safety profession for 35 years, and also jointly in the workers' compensation management profession for approximately the last 15. Came to Alaska in 1983, moved up from Texas, and worked with ARCO Alaska. I was their corporate level safety director for quite a few years. Then in 1992, I severed with ARCO and began my own private safety management consulting firm. And then in the year 2000, I decided to get back on a corporate payroll and became the safety and workers' compensation manager with General Communication, commonly referred to as GCI here in Alaska. I'm a past national president of the American Society of Safety Engineers, headquartered out of Chicago. And I'm also a past national president of the National Institute of Engineering Ethics, and I currently still serve on the executive board of the National Institute of Engineering Ethics. One of the interesting things that I have found in my profession that I really feel like is important for consideration as through the confirmation process is safety professionals deal in trying to prevent injuries, and a consequence of that failing means that you've got injured workers. And one of the areas in my professional career that I have come to appreciate is the fact that under a workers' compensation system, there needs to be fairness, there needs to be expediency, there needs to be consistency, and also a sensitivity to the legislative intent of the Workers' Compensation Act. I deal every day in my job right now with GCI, assuring that injured workers that work for my company get fair treatment, get the best medical treatment that money can buy, to be sure that they are healed to the point of getting back onto the job and to earn full wages. One of the things when I was appointed to the Workers' Compensation Board back in 1995 was I saw in my approximately 8 or 9 years on that board was that throughout the state, the system tried to work very well. But there were some shortcomings that I think the most recent legislation passed in Juneau has tried to alleviate. One of the areas that I always felt was critical for both the injured workers as well as the employers of this state is to have a system that constantly is moving forward, constantly moving forward. And whenever I submitted my resume and then ultimately was appointed to the Appeals Commission, I felt like this was one way I could contribute as citizen service in this state to continue that process with the Appeals Commission to assure fairness, to assure expediency in moving disputed claims along, because that's where the Appeals Commission gets involved, is strictly at the appellate level for disputed claims, and to be sure that there is a consistency. You've heard from my colleagues on the Appeals Commission up to this point in time that consistency seems to be a common thread of all five of the commission members right now. And I know in just our discussions we've had since we began our service about 10 to 11 weeks ago was that I feel like with every member of this commission right now that we have five people who have over 60 years of collective service in workers' compensation management and workers' compensation activities in this state. And I believe that it's a very strong committee because of the amount of experience that each one of these commissioners bring to this commission. Needless to say, we all have known each other because we all used to serve on the board. And I believe when we think about the sensitivity to the enabling legislation of the Act, and particularly even with the changes that were made this past year, that the balance between the labor representatives and the industry representatives and the chair that we have on this is going to assure the fairness and the expediency and the consistency of the appellate process in this state. So I would be glad to address any questions you may have.
All right, thank you very much. And I apologize, I misspoke. I said you were appointed to the Workers' Compensation Board. That is your history. This is obviously an appointment to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. Questions for Mr. Ulmer? Seeing none, again, thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to be with us and for your willingness to serve. We appreciate it both.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
As we have a Mr. Matthew McSorley there at the LIO as well. Yeah. Mr. McSorley is appointed to the Alaska Labor Relations Agency, and if you'd like to give us a brief introduction and your view of your role with the Labor Relations Agency.
Well, thank you for appointing me and hearing my testimony. Senator Bundy, you are my senator, and I'm happy to see you. I was appointed by Governor Murkowski, and my history in Alaska is I was awarded a basketball scholarship to UAF in 1993, and I came to Alaska and played basketball, and I'd always wanted to be a firefighter, so I was offered a job as a firefighter during college and took the job because those jobs were kind of hard to get back in those days. And I was able to finish college while I was a professional firefighter, and while I was a professional firefighter, I got involved in the labor movement, and that's been kind of one of my passions through the last 8 years. And I worked closely with Mark Dragas in Fairbanks, and he was my mentor as far as the labor movement and stuff like that. And I just am really thankful that I was appointed and look forward to serving Alaska.
Thank you. Questions? We don't see any questions. Thank you very much for taking time to come to the LIO and chat with us and for your willingness to serve the state.
Thank you for having me.
I would like to just read into the record the other people that have been appointed and have been reviewed, but the committee chose not to interview. And we have appointees to the Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy, Johnny Floyd from Anchorage, Daniel Rosema from Anchorage, and Elaine Williamson from Fairbanks, to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, Shirley Griffith from Soldotna, the Board of Registered Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, Jerry Gorlick from Anchorage, Burdett Lent from Wasilla, Daniel Walsh from Fairbanks, the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Dr. Gregory Culbert, Eagle River, and Dr. Rosemary Zimmerman from Girdwood, Board of Certified Real Estate Appraisers, Steve McSwain from Anchorage, and Richard Olmsted from Ketchikan, the Workers' Compensation Board, Raymond Bridges from Eagle Rivers, Stephen Hagdorn from Anchorage, Linda Hutchings from Soldotna, and Dave Robinson from Wasilla. We will move these names forward, but I'd like to remind committee members that when we move these names forward, it's not a commitment and doesn't reflect any intent by any member to vote for or against any of the appointees in future floor sessions. And if there are no further questions for our appointees, just announcement for next Tuesday. We have SB 171, Practice of Psychology, will be up for the first time. SB 255, the extending the Board of Optometry, and two bills previously heard, SB 244, No Discrimination Against Acupuncture, and SB 222, Protection of Personal Information, that will be personally heard. So if there's nothing more to come before the committee, with thanks to all of you in Anchorage and the people here in Juneau who made the video teleconference work. I'm compelled to say, of course, if the legislature met in Anchorage, we probably wouldn't have to do this, but that's for the Juneau people down here. But again, thank you all for taking time out of your busy day to join us. We appreciate it, and we will stand adjourned at 2:25.